Amen. You may please be seated. God bless you. Well, today is an especially very good day for me. I really thank God for all the Lord has done for us thus far. And I have the pleasure and the honor of presenting to some of us and introducing to the rest of us some very, very special people in my life. We have in the house this morning my mother. Hallelujah. Her new alias now is Great, because she's a great grandmother now. Hallelujah. And she's getting ready to have her second great granddaughter or great grandchild. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you, ma. You're welcome, ma. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. And also, we have in the house this morning, brethren, let me tell us something this morning. And I say this often, especially to the young ladies. Any man or boy that is trying to talk to you to marry you, and they don't have anyone over them, that is your opportunity to put an X on the individual. It means no way. Because a man that is not accountable is a man that is can very well be destroyed easily. Amen? And I pride myself that I have someone in my life that I call daddy. And he has been a father to me indeed, in so many ways that I cannot begin to express to you. And there is no daddy without mommy. You do know that. So we have daddy and mommy in the house this morning. Daddy, you're welcome. Daddy Adeyemi and mommy Adeyemi, you're welcome. The Lord bless you, sir. The Lord bless you, ma. We honor you in Jesus' name. If you think pastor is wrong on anything, you have my permission to talk to daddy. Because he brings me to correction when he notices anything I'm not doing right himself. You know, I've made myself accountable to him. It's good to have somebody over you. The Bible says we must not remove the landmarks of the fathers. You know, anyone that is in the land of the fatherless is somebody that will not go very far in life. Praise the Lord. This morning, we're going to talk about something I have titled Joshua Generation. Last week, we talked about Moses is dead, but Joshua is alive. But for Joshua to become all that God has ordained him to be, there are certain things that Joshua must already become before he can enter into that place. But before we start this morning, I want to show us a short video clip, about 5 minutes. Video clip, are we ready? Technical, I'll need somebody with the lights, please.
Open the work of a lepidopter, someone who studies butterflies. Somewhere in that writing, you're going to find the language of astonishment.
Every one of these 20,000 species have different color patterns, and every one of them has different shaped wings. The diversity is just so magnificent.
As you watch a butterfly, to describe what you're looking at, you can't really put it into words. That's biology, it's also magic.
It's impossible to look at a caterpillar turning into a butterfly and not ask how. Their metamorphosis, their life cycle, how did this happen? This astonishing, remarkable transformation.
In a metamorphic insect, what you've got is two body plans. You have to first form one functional body plan, and then you have to switch gears and you have to take and form a new body plan. I am amazed by development when it goes from egg to caterpillar, because it's such an intricate process. But then you have to enter into the chrysalis stage and you have to get it right again. So it's like the problem squared.
You've got to get rid of or digest the caterpillar tissues. They won't work for the adult. In fact, the cells themselves disappear, but then their components are recycled and are turned into a kind of soup out of which the adult structures will be built. It's very carefully engineered. So you got to know where you're going to end up before you start.
It's like a different organism. Transitions have to take place in the heart. Transitions have to take place in the antennae. Transitions have to take place in the reproductive organs.
You have to recreate adult legs, adult antennae, adult eyes. You have to change the shape of the brain and the connections between the antennae and the eyes. You have to reformat the gut so that it switches from eating plant material to eating nectar. You begin to see the depths of the problem. So for evolution to have created this sort of pathway gradually, it would take a miracle.
When you see certain effects in nature, it's your responsibility as an investigator to find the cause that will explain the effect. If you saw a mechanical device of the sophistication of a butterfly, you would not for a moment hesitate to ascribe that to intelligence, because the butterfly is so much more sophisticated, almost beyond our comprehension, than anything that we make. Planning, foresight, artistry, engineering. When you process all the evidence revealed through metamorphosis, and then you ask yourself, in your own experience, what kind of cause could bring about these results? I think the only reasonable answer is an intelligence that transcends the natural world.
Praise the Lord. I showed us that clip to let us see the wonders of God. There's so many things around us in nature, in life, that we cannot even begin to fathom or understand. They said something there that the pathway to life is death. For you to become what God wants you to become, you have to die to some other things. Praise the Lord. We see in the metamorphosis there that there were carefully timed and stages of transformation in the life of a beautiful butterfly. It starts as an egg. The egg is laid. I don't know if you noticed, it laid the egg behind the leaf and is attached to it. And over time, the egg hatches into a larva. The egg is very, very different from the larva. There's really no resemblance between the egg and the larva. And the larva, on the other hand, all through its life, which is about 2 weeks, all the larva does is eat. If the butterflies decide to lay their eggs on your garden, in the back of your house, you better forget it that you don't have any garden that season. Because the larvae will eat every leaf inside the 2 weeks that they are growing. And after 2 weeks, the larvae literally dies. It sheds the outer layer. It's like it dies. And the tissue, the cells, dissolve inside the pupa to form the, to form the pupa and later on form the butterfly. It has been said that if you try to break the pupa before time to bring the butterfly out, if it was grown enough to leave, it would never fly because it came out too soon. There are things in your life that God has carefully programmed and timed. The Bible says there is a time for every purpose. There's a time for everything, a time to laugh, a time to be sad, a time to be born, a time to die. There's a time for everything under the sun. Any attempt to skip a stage is to never make it to destiny. But you will make it to destiny. Oh, I say you will make it to destiny. In the mighty name of Jesus. The life of a Joshua is like the life of that butterfly. Our lives, I've often told us, is in seasons and in phases. There's a time for us to do certain things, and after a while, we are expected to mature and grow up. You know, sometimes we say to people, grow up. What's wrong with you? Grow up. It means whatever you are crying or doing at this time, we thought you had grown out of that. We thought you were past that. So they tell you, grow up. Grow up. Look at your neighbor. Make sure they're not older than you. Say, grow up. If they are older than you, they are already grown. If they are older than you, they are already grown. What are you telling them? You don't have anything to tell them. Just hold your peace and the Lord will help you. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. I'm saying to us this morning, in order for you to become the Joshua that succeeds Moses, it is important for you to go through certain seasons and phases before you ultimately become that man, that woman that God has created you to become. We're going to read from Exodus chapter 24, and if you may, please rise for the reading of the word of God. We honor the Lord by so doing. We'll read verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to jump to verse 9, and we'll read from 9 to 18. So verses 1 and 2, Exodus 24. And by the way, I'm reading from the International Standard Version, so it might be a little different from what you have on the screen or the Bible that you have. It said, the Lord told Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 elders of Israel, and worship at a distance. Verse 2, only Moses, somebody say only Moses. Only Moses is to approach the Lord, but the others are not to approach. The people are not to come up with him. Verse 9. Then Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire and as clear as the sky, because the Lord did, because God did not punish the Israeli leaders. They looked at God, yet lived to eat and drink. What that is simply saying is they saw God and they did not die. That's what that means. Verse 12. Then the Lord told Moses, go up on the mountain and stay there. I'll give you stone tablets with the instruction and law that I've written to teach the people. Moses got up with Joshua, his servant, and went up on the mountain of God. Let's backtrack a little bit. Verse 2, what did verse 2 say to us? Only Moses is to approach the Lord. But when it was time to go, verse 13, Moses got up with Joshua, his servant. I want you to underline Joshua, his servant. If that Bible is yours, if you are borrowing it, don't underline somebody else's Bible. It means go get a Bible. Yeah, if you need one, we can get one for you. Moses got up with Joshua, his servant, and went up on the mountain of God. He told the elders, wait here for us until we return to you. Look, Aaron and all are with you, and whosoever has a dispute, let him come to them. May you not be left at the average level. Yeah. When it was time for promotion, Moses said to the elders, he said, you guys stay here. All the people that have problems, you take care of them. We are going to meet with God. God forbid that I'll be left behind when it is time to meet with God. In the name of Jesus. It's a terrible thing that happened to these people here, if you didn't know that. It was time to meet with God for instruction. When it was time for eating and drinking, they invited them. But when it was time to meet with God, they were left behind. May you not be left behind. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let's continue reading. Verse 15. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, he called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Can you imagine that? They saw a cloud. The other guys were seeing fire. When the Bible says the heavens opened and God spoke, I said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The people said it thundered when God spoke. Friends, it is possible for us to be under the same anointing and we have different outcomes in life. It is possible for us to be under the same grace, the same power of God, but we have different outcomes in life. They were seeing the same thing, but they were not seeing the same thing. It was a cloud of glory upon the mountain. Somebody saw fire. Somebody else saw cloud. And God spoke to them from within the cloud. God spoke from heaven. Somebody had, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Obey him and follow him. The other people said, oh, it thundered. Ah, what a thunderous moment. May you not miss your moments in destiny. In the name of Jesus. Verse 18 and the last verse that we're reading this morning from there. It says, when Moses went up on the mountain, he went into the center of the cloud and was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And you may please be seated. What you see here in verse 1 that we have read, the scripture says, God said, come up to the Lord, you, Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship at the distance. The first thing you must ask yourself, I have a critical mind because I used to be a scientist. I did research. So I like to break things down. When I saw that, I said, what's up with this sentence? The number one thing you see in this sentence, that verse 1, is that God is showing us hierarchy. It said Moses first and Aaron. Aaron was the mouthpiece of Moses. He was like the assistant to Moses. He was the priest. He said you, Aaron, the next in command, and then Nadab and Abihu. Nadab and Abihu were the first two sons of Aaron. And they were also priests. They were the ones that were supposed to take over from Aaron when Aaron dies. But both of them, they lit a strange fire on the altar of God. Friends, it is a dangerous thing to presume on God. Very dangerous thing. Very dangerous. They were presuming on God. The fire they lit was exactly the job they are supposed to be doing. But nobody told them to light a fire. And God killed them. Both of them. But they didn't die at this time. They were still alive. So they were still part of the hierarchy. So if you want to arrange the hierarchy, like I showed you the workers a few weeks ago, you know, you want to show the organizational structure. At the helm of the affairs at this time was Moses. Next to Moses was Aaron. And then on a horizontal line, you have Nadab and Abihu. And next to that, you had the elders of Israel. There were more than 70, but 70 of them were chosen. And I ask myself, why did they qualify Why was it only 70 that was chosen? Because when you read, let's read the scriptures carefully. It says, and 70 of the elders of Israel. It means there were more, but only 70 was chosen. When it's time for choosing people for good things, your name will not be left out. In the mighty name of Jesus. But I'm going somewhere with this. Because last week we were talking about Moses. Today I want to focus on Joshua. What qualified Joshua to be the replacement for Moses? Because when you look at this hierarchy, Joshua is not mentioned anywhere. They said, you? These are the people God specifically gave Moses instruction to bring up to the mid-level. Not to the top, to the mid-level. He said, bring yourself, bring Aaron, your brother, your priest, your prophet, bring him. And bring Nadab and Abihu, his sons, that will stand in his stead when he dies. And then bring 70 of the elders of Israel. And Joshua was not included. How come it was Joshua that succeeded Moses? Something is wrong with this picture, you will say. Because if you were picking a replacement, it is not right to go from behind to select. You will remember the scripture telling us in Numbers chapter 11. Numbers 11 and verse 25. The Bible says, and the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the spirit that was upon him. This is talking about Moses. God came down and took of the spirit that was upon Moses and gave it to the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Listen carefully. Because many Joshuas are remaining and some are dying in the pupa stage. They have eaten their fat and they are now in a case. Protected, but they never become a beautiful butterfly. If you are in stagnation in your metamorphosis, the Lord will break you through. Amen. I said Jehovah will break you through. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. The lava stage is a good stage because you are just eating. Life is good. Good news. Everything is happening. Things are happening. Things are good. But that is not your ultimate destiny in life. The ultimate destiny of that lava is to become a beautiful butterfly. How many of you would like to have a lava as a pet? You know? It's very irritating. It can almost make you puke just looking at it. Pastor Gloria, should I tell on you? We went to Peru and they were eating something like that. He said, Pastor Troy, I said, not on your life. I will never eat a worm. The way I was looking at it, I said, never. I'm from Africa. I don't eat that kind of stuff. It was in the market. It's not like they say, as a missionary, whatever they give you to eat, you eat. No, this was in the marketplace. I had a choice. Praise the Lord. Even though the lava stage is a stage of eating and getting fat, it is not the ultimate destiny. God has better plan for that lava than just being a grubbies. Just eating and grubbing and eating and No, that's not all. And then the pupa stage might also be a convenient stage, a stage where you are shielded from everything. Nothing can touch you. You are protected. You have people all around you that won't let anything happen to you. That is not your ultimate destiny. Many Joshuas get to the lava stage and they rest. Many Joshuas get to the pupa stage and they rest. But the ultimate destiny is butterfly. Can you compare the butterfly to something like a mold just hanging on? No. There's a big difference between the two. My prayer for you is that you will make it to destiny. You will make it to destination. In the mighty name of Jesus. Joshua was clearly not in the chain of command. As we're going to see later, when the Spirit came off of Moses and was put upon the 70 elders, it did not fall on Joshua. It was a different coronation ceremony that God had for Joshua. So my question to you this morning is, how did God skip Aaron? Well, we know Aaron died before this, before Moses. Amen? But why did God allow Aaron to die? So that Aaron worked very hard. If anybody was to take over from Moses, the rightful person is Aaron. Because he went with him to Pharaoh. They suffered all of those things together. This guy suffered, but he didn't get it. So it is not by, I have suffered so much that I will rise up. No. You look at Nadab and Abihu. Okay, let's leave those ones because they did foolishness. But many people are living foolishly today as well. The Bible says, because the Lord did not instruct them to light a fire, they lit a strange fire on the altar of God, and God killed them dead. So they missed out on destiny. Okay, so let's move to the 70. The 70 had been sitting in the position of authority over the people. They've been judging the people. They've been responsible for the people. The spirit that was upon Moses, the leader, God himself took that spirit and put upon these 70 elders. But yet, when it was time for a successor for Moses, the 70 elders didn't make it. What I'm saying to you this morning, and I want you to listen very closely, God has a clear plan for your life. Believe me, you may be confused about so many things, but God is not confused about anything. God has a clear plan for your life. He has a clear plan for my life. And there is no demon, there is no devil that can hinder God. But guess what? You can. You are your best friend and your worst enemy. No demon can stop the work of God. No devil can stop the work of God. But you can. When God gives instruction and you refuse to obey, say, let God be God and let me be me. In destiny, there is a part that you play, and there is a part that God plays. And if God, as we know him, is the Almighty God, all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent, it means distance cannot hinder his work because he's everywhere at every time. He is not limited in power, and he's not limited in knowledge. So it is a guarantee that the part of God will be done. So we don't need to begin to investigate the role of God. The role of God will be done. So what we need to investigate is my role and your role. Because like I told us last Sunday, Moses is dead. There's a new sheriff in town. His name is Joshua. And for Joshua, you can just remove Joshua and just put Adekoye on it. Hallelujah. You can put Brenda. You can put Tracy 1 and Tracy 2. Praise the Lord. So let's look at Joshua a little closely. I saw from scripture that Joshua had some very interesting assignments. The first time the name of Joshua was mentioned in the Bible was in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 9. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 9. And what was said to him? The Bible says, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand, and you will go fight the Amalekites. It's very interesting that Moses started by saying, choose us out men. He included himself. He said, choose us out men. But when it came to the part of fighting war, he said, you go fight, I will go to the mountaintop, and I will hold the rod of God, and I'll be praying for you. Praise the Lord. Very interesting. There is no record, no history of Joshua ever training in any army or fighting any battle. But the Bible tells us that the Amalekites did put a fast one on Israel. And Israel had to regroup very quickly and defend themselves. And guess who was called? Joshua. And when you read the text, you read the whole thing, Joshua did not say, oh, sir, you know, I am not a trained soldier. He did not say, oh, master, you know, how will I do this thing? These are real trained army. It's not. All of them were born into slavery. All they knew was to obey instruction. Not to fight wars. Not to fight wars. Joshua had some very interesting assignments, and he succeeded in every assignment. Another assignment we see the name of Joshua coming up is in Numbers 13 and verse 16. Numbers 13 and verse 16. The Bible says, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Heshua. Praise the Lord. So Moses was actually the one that gave him the name Joshua. His name was Hoshea. Listen to this. They were going to spy the promised land. The land that God clearly told them that this land is filled with giants, the sons of Anak. Say, I want you to go spy the land. So I'm choosing 12 of them. Joshua was one of them. Joshua had the oddest tasks to do in his life. And guess what? Out of the 12 that went, 10 came back and said, this is a suicide mission. He said, this is suicide. There's no way we can win this fight. And two people came back and said, sir, in the name of the Lord, we can take the land. And one of the two was Joshua. Joshua had a different perspective. Joshua was not like the rest of the people. And when they came back, the Bible tells us that the people, the 10, of course the voice of 10 will be louder than the voice of 2. Especially if they are speaking out of fear. Oh, it's not possible. They'll be very loud. But the people that are confident and know what's up, they're coming by and say, everybody hold your peace. You know, we got this. God's going to fight this battle for us. Everything is going to be okay. But these guys were very loud. And because they were very loud, they had more followers. A natural default for every man is fear. Nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And the road to heaven is death. You can't get to heaven without dying except Jesus comes. So everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. So a natural feeling for people, when you see something you don't have absolute control over, is to fear. So naturally, everybody feared. And the voice of the people was so loud, but it did not change the mind of Joshua and Caleb. Joshua said, excuse me, attention, please. Somebody hold up. I have something to say. And Joshua said to Moses, he said, sir, we have seen the land, we have seen the people. And we are able, more than able, to take the land. For you to become that Joshua, for you to become that person, ultimately in destiny that God wants you to become, you must have the mindset of Joshua. You must understand that challenges in life do not face God. In fact, God allows those challenges because he knows where your destiny lies. Moses did not fight any war. He had people do those kind of things for him. But Joshua, in his destiny, there were battles for him to fight because God had ordained for him to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And in the promised land, there was going to be resistance. And because God knew that, it was part of his preparation. God was prepping him when God told Moses to tell him to go fight the Amalekites. Can you imagine if Joshua chickened out and did not fight the Amalekites? And let's say God had mercy on him and ultimately he made it to the promised land leading the people. What will happen? He will be a chicken leader. It will be a leader that is not worth his salt. He will be a leader that everybody is wondering that where, which hole does this man crawl out of? Where did he come? Where did he come from? There's a movie I was watching at 24, and there's a president that didn't. He was the vice president, and the president had, I forgot what happened to the president. Anyway, he became president suddenly. He was not prepared for it. It was obvious he was not prepared. In fact, he had to hire the former president to come and help him deal with the crisis he had. What kind of a leader is that? Everybody in his cabinet, they were looking at him. What's wrong with this man? They tell him about the problem. He's pacing up by now. So what do you think? After pacing up, say, sir, you are the commander-in-chief. You tell us what to do. We are not switching roles there. You are the one that is carrying the title. Live up to your position. A Joshua that will blossom and will not end up and die up as a larva or a pooper has a different perspective. It does not matter what people are saying or what people are doing. The first mention of Joshua in the book of Numbers was in Numbers 11 and verse 28. This is what I was alluding to earlier. When God had told Moses, he said, gather all the 70 elders together. I'm going to take of your spirit and put upon them. And Moses gathered them together. He said, meet me at the tabernacle. They came to the tabernacle. They gathered together. But two of them, Mildad and Eldad, they were in the camp. They didn't come to the tent. But the Bible says the spirit of the Lord that was in Moses was taken off of Moses and divided into these people. And those two that were in camp, the spirit came upon them as well. And they began to prophesy. And the Bible says a young man ran and came to tell Moses. He said, oh, even Mildad and Eldad, they are in the camp prophesying. All the people that are prophesying are supposed to be in here. What are they doing over there? And Moses came, Joshua came. He spoke up. Numbers 11, 28. Joshua, the son of Nun. Again, the servant of Moses. Note that. This is the second time. Mark it. The servant of Moses. One of his young men answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses answered and said, are you jealous for me? He said, I wish everybody can prophesy. That will lessen my job. I wish all of you, every single one of you can prophesy. Leave them, let them prophesy. If the Lord has put his spirit upon them for them to prophesy and they are prophesying, let them prophesy. Let them alone. But in spite of all this hard work, none of them were fit to replace Moses. None of them was able to succeed Moses. So there has to be something about this Joshua. There's also a story that I would like for us to read very quickly. In Numbers chapter 16, verses 1, 2, and 3. Numbers 16, 1, 2, and 3. Because when we ask the question, why Joshua? We have seen that Joshua had a different spirit. We have seen that Joshua had a different perspective. We have seen that Joshua was just a servant. Joshua was different. But why not? Numbers chapter 16, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. Every one of them is holy. What's wrong with you? What's special about you? And the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Korah and his team, they died as larvae. Praise the Lord. Korah is a Levite. In fact, Korah and Moses and Aaron were cousins because their fathers were brothers. They were of the priesthood. And because they were familiar with Moses and Aaron, he's my cousin, he's my first cousin. I know him. What's he talking about? When did you become this man that everybody's now saying, Moses, Aaron? Stop that thing. Stop that nonsense. I know him. Did we not eat fufu together yesterday? You know, I was visiting some people yesterday night. And when I got there, you know, I'd been visiting and everything. I'd not broken my fast, you know. So they call it amala. They call it amala. Very delicious. By the time I was done eating, I said, God help you. If I say MM tomorrow, I will report you to everybody that is your amala. These guys, they became familiar with the anointing. And they challenged the authority of Moses and Aaron. Read all the accounts of Moses in scripture. When God referred to Moses, he said, Moses, my servant. God personalizes Moses each time. He says, Moses, my servant. Moses, my servant. And Moses said to these guys, he said, except I am not a prophet of God, will you die a natural death? He said, today, let there be a distinction. Those are for me, come on this side. If you are for them, go on that side. And the Bible says the earth opened up and swallowed them up. One of the reasons that Joshuas will never become Moses is because they get familiar with Moses. You see, when you walk, especially with somebody like me, I like to joke around a lot. All the people that were working with me this morning, they were just laughing and laughing and laughing. You know? Is it not pastor? Friends, we have to be able to have fun doing the work of God. But you must understand your place and the place of anointing. Praise the Lord. So it is for your own benefit so that you can be blessed of that anointing. It has been said that great men of God, go and look at their circle of influence. The people that are very close to them are usually not the ones that benefit the most from their life. Except for Joshua's. Very quickly, as my time is winding down, very quickly, I want to share seven things with us, real quick, that makes Joshua unique and different. Seven things, very quickly. Number one, Joshua, the Bible tells us, was the minister of Moses. You see, I checked that word minister because in some other translations, it says servant of Moses. So I went to check the Hebrew word that was translated minister. The Hebrew word translated minister is sharath. And sharath means to attend as in menial. To attend to someone as in doing menial jobs. Menial as in dirty odd jobs for a person. It means doing unskilled, tedious, boring things for a person. How exciting is holding water for someone to wash their hands? Now, is that exciting for you? It's not. If it's exciting for you, I call you a liar. Very simple. So you just hold the water there, and they are washing their hands. And by the time they are done, they go, pew, pew. Praise the Lord. It is only a servant that has the understanding of what it means to be a servant that will understand that there is blessing in this thing that just happened to me. To be able to hold water. So number one thing, the Bible clearly tells us that Joshua was the minister of Moses. So you must recognize your Moses and serve. That's the lesson from number one. You must recognize your Moses and serve, because his service was what promoted him. Listen to this. In Exodus chapter 24, our text for today, the Bible says when God said to him, he said, Exodus chapter 24 and verse 2, it says, only Moses must approach to me on the top of the mountain. But when Moses was going, he didn't take the elder. He didn't take his brother. He didn't take the priest. He didn't take anyone. Who did he take? His servant. His servant. Joshua, his servant. That was all he took. He took his servant. Friends, what I'm saying to you here, the accelerated pathway to promotion is service. The heart of a servant. The heart of a servant. Recognize your Moses and serve. Number two, Joshua, as the minister of Moses, was faithful. The way I define faithfulness is like this. Faithfulness is simple. Faithfulness means doing what you are told to do, when you are told to do it, and how you are told to do it. Let me say that again. Faithfulness means doing what you are told to do, when you are told to do it, and how you were told to do it. Let me share a scripture with you. It just came to my mind now. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 19. Please put it up. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 19. Proverbs 25 verse 19. Very quickly, please. It says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. To have someone that is serving, that is unfaithful, it says if you need them urgently, they are like a broken tooth. Anybody ever had toothache? Real severe toothache. Really severe. He said that is who an unfaithful servant is. Confidence in an unfaithful servant in the time of trouble is like broken tooth or bone out of joint or foot out of joint. The ankle is twisted. You can't walk. You can't put weight on it. He said that is who an unfaithful servant is. Joshua to Moses was a faithful servant. A faithful servant. A true servant does not make excuses, but is faithful. Joshua's have a can-do spirit. That's the lesson from that. Joshua's have a can-do servant. Number three, Joshua, we're talking about how Joshua generations will mature and get into their place and be able to take over. Because, listen to me. I am particularly very interested and I keep praying for young people. Because the future of America lies in the young people. A lot of the world, it lies in the young people. The church is dying and going to extinction in UK. Why? Because the children were not brought up in the way of the Lord. They would rather go to the pub than go to the church. Joshua's, we must take our place and take our positions. You see, as you get old, there's always the tendency for you to become set in your ways. But as a young person, I beseech you by the mercies of God, never lose your edge of creativity. Never. Young people want to try new things. They want to experiment. They want to do this. They want to do that. That is a good thing. The principle must not change. The word of God cannot change. Number what was that? Number three. Joshua understood his role as a servant. I think only twice in scripture you will hear the voice of Joshua. Joshua never spoke. He was just there to whatever the master wanted, he did. Once, when they came, brought the report about Mildred and Eldad prophesying in the camp, Joshua said, master, forbid them. And what was he doing? He was defending his master's territory. He said, forbid them, Moses. You are the number one prophet here. How can they be prophesying? Moses said, thank you. Thank you. The whole idea is for everybody to prophesy. There's no one great prophet that anybody else cannot prophesy. You know, he said, let them prophesy. Calm down. That was number one. Number two was when they came back from spying the land, and the people were talking arrant nonsense. And Joshua spoke up, said, master, it's not like that. We can take the land. To be a Joshua to your generation means you understand your role as a servant of God. You understand your role, not as the adult of God, but as the child of God. Because today we have some adults of God that some things are meant for the children. So let the children do that, you know. That's for children. May I tell you today that there is no adult of God. We are all children of God. You know why? God himself is the Ancient of Days. Number four, very quickly. Joshua was a type of Jesus. In fact, even by the name, he was a type of Jesus. Yeshua. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5, it says, you must have the same attitude that Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. That is Jesus. Listen to me. The fact that, let me ask you a quick question. And it's not a trick question. It's not a trick question. Okay? Everybody agree? I won't trick you. I'm not tripping you. Okay, listen to this. President Obama, is he the wisest in America? Is he the oldest? Is he the richest? How come he's the commander-in-chief? He's the elected commander-in-chief. The people, Geithner, his Secretary of Treasury, when it comes to money, he stands 100 times better than the president. In fact, when the president is going to make financial decisions, he pays close attention to him. So, Geithner, what do you think? What are you saying? This trend, can it continue? What should we do? So he advises him, and then he comes out, commander-in-chief. Say, so what we're going to do is that we're going to up this and we're going to down that. And we all say, yes, sir. Why? He's the commander-in-chief. The fact that you are servant doesn't mean you are a fool. In fact, the fact that you are a servant doesn't mean you are not capable of doing things. It just means you are in training. God is working on you to take you to that place in destiny. He doesn't make you a fool. So, they say, pastor is coming. We carry pastor's Bible. I don't even let people carry my Bible. Not because there's anything wrong with it, you know. Sir, what's all this fuss about, pastor? Is it not my body? We high-five together. Yeah, we high-five together. That's okay. Praise the Lord. Listen to this. Listen to this. I have until 12:25. That's why I said that thing is a lie. I gained 5 minutes that I wanted to add to this, but they didn't add it for me. And my 5 minutes starts now. Praise the Lord. Listen to this. Listen to this. He was a type of Jesus in humility. I read a scripture that blew my mind. Listen to this. Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 and verse 19. Acts chapter 20 and verse 19. He said, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears. And in the midst of severe testing by plots of my Jewish opponents. Listen to me. He didn't say, I served the Lord in humility. He said, I served the Lord with great humility. To be a servant requires great humility. Because people will throw things at you that you begin to wonder. You know, some people have flat tire by the roadside. Guess who they call? Pastor. Pastor, how are you doing? Fine. My car is... Okay. As a servant of the Lord. But thank God, God has given me able assistance now. So you call me, I call Brother Luther. I call Obi. I call Brother Ayo. I said, Brother Ayo, could you please go help such and such out? Because sometimes, some people just don't know anybody. They don't know who to call, really. But they know pastor. Because pastor is accessible. And they have pastor's number. They want to call Obi, but they don't know Obi's number. And then they call Obi. Obi sees their number. He doesn't pick it. But when Obi sees pastor's number, I hope he picks pastor's call. So I can make it happen sooner and quicker. Pray, Obi is my guy. He's my son. God bless him in Jesus' name. Number five. Listen to this. When you are fully complied with the conditions, Joshua can only start where Moses has finished. A son starts off from the shoulder of his father. Praise the Lord. A son cannot start from the beginning all over again and suffer everything the father has suffered. It is impossible. A son, a child, will start from the shoulder of his father. And Joshua understood that. So he was happy being a servant. He didn't face Joshua. And guess what? As soon as Moses died, what happened? The Bible says God declared to the people, he said, today I will begin to magnify Joshua in the sight of this great assembly. And guess what? The first thing he did, he parted River Jordan. Praise the Lord. He parted River Jordan. You know why? He was starting where Moses ended. Elijah. Where Elijah ended was where Elisha started. In fact, both of these guys were greater than their masters. Joshua was in battle, and the son was going there and said, you better stop there. I have work to do. The only man that kept the son in place, Joshua. Elisha, go and read the Bible very well. Elisha did exactly double the miracles of Elijah. In fact, the last one that would double the miracles, he did it in death. He had died, and some of the skeptics, some of the skeptics will have said, well, instead of 14, he did 13. So after he died, in his grave, they threw a dead body into his grave, and the dead body came to life, making exactly double. Friends, you cannot start from where the master started. When you do your discipleship, you finish the training, you accomplish everything, you become of mature full age, you can only start where the master finished. And you'll be greater than the master. In the name of Jesus. Jesus said, greater works will you do than these things that I have done. Number 6, very quickly, Joshua was rewarded similarly as Jesus was rewarded. The Bible says God gave Jesus the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue must confess of things in heaven and things on earth. Moses, when Moses died, guess what? The name that was bigger than the name of Moses was the name Joshua took over, because he did great and mighty things. Joshua, the first battle he fought, he just marched around the wall 7 days. And then on the 7 days, he said, march 7 times. And then he spoke. He said, everybody shout! And they all shouted. And thick, fat wall, almost the size of this building, thick, fat wall, he just crumbled. That is a miracle. When you see a man do that, guess what? Immediately, in fact, everybody said, as we obeyed Moses, we will obey you. As we followed Moses, we will follow you. Anything you say, we will do. Immediately, when you see power in action, you too, you will know you have seen power. Finally, number 7, and then we'll pray. Number 7. Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him, doing just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Praise the Lord. Why? Because Moses laid his hands on Joshua, Joshua had no choice but to be successful. And he was full of the spirit of wisdom. As I wrap up today, I saw that in the life, I saw two things in the life of Joshua that I want to warn us about. Number one thing, in Joshua chapter 13 and verse 1, Joshua 13 and verse 1, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. The Bible says, now Joshua was old and gone far in years. It was over 100 years. And the Lord said to him, you have grown old and are gone far in years, and very much land still remains to be possessed. Listen to this. Remember, I told you last week that why was God asking Joshua obvious question? God is asking him again. He said, Joshua, now you are old. Why is God telling you? You don't think he knew he was old? By this time, he was going like that. So God, he knew he was old. But God reminded him, said, now you are old. You have gone far in age. And there is still plenty of land to be conquered. It means, Joshua, you have not completed the work. Joshua, you have not done all that I have called you to do. You haven't. This is sad. This is tragic. Number two thing, nobody succeeded Joshua. Moses raised Joshua. When Moses died, Joshua took over. When Joshua died, he left a vacuum. Don't be that kind of Joshua. Rise to your feet very quickly. One prayer point, and we just close. Open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Very quickly, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Please forgive me. Acts 20 and verse 24. If you have not heard anything that I've said today, please, I beseech you by the mercies of God, mark this, highlight it, note it, write it, do whatever you want to do, but don't forget it. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. It says, however, I consider my life worth nothing. If only, somebody say, if only, I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. As a Joshua, you don't want to be an incomplete. I believe Joshua did many great things, but he was incomplete. God said to him, he said, you have done so well, but now you are old. You can't do anything. But yet, there is plenty of land to be possessed. Why don't you lift up your right hand to heaven and say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, help me, Lord, to fulfill destiny, to maximize your potential in my life, to be all that you have called me to do, that I may finish my race, finish well and finish strong, and complete the task that you have committed into my hands. In the name of Jesus. Talk to the Lord for 1 minute. Just talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. That I may finish my race. Whether Moses, Joshua, Elisha, Elijah, whoever you are, that I may finish my race. That I may finish strong. That I may finish well. That I may complete the task. That I may complete the task that you have given unto me. That I will not be an incomplete. I will not be an incomplete in the name of Jesus. I will not be an incomplete in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jehovah. We give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.